The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
He's been pushing for fighter jets, a no-fly zone. You have to hear some of those same requests tomorrow as well. Has the administration thinking shifted on that at all? You said obviously no-fly zone is viewed as escalatory, but I noticed you did not say anything about the fighter jet requests.
A lot of the U.S. positions on that haven't changed, as you just said, when it comes to the no-fly zone. But on the aircraft specifically,
it sounds like, you know, we're pretty dug in on our position when it comes to the no-fly zone, when it comes to the MiGs, despite this growing bipartisan call in Congress to shift a little bit. So, to put it bluntly, is Zelensky wasting his time tomorrow asking for these things? Estonia, though, calling for a no-fly zone. They're a NATO member. They share a border with Russia. How do we view their calls for a no-fly zone?
If Putin were to use chemical weapons, would it change the president's thinking when it comes to these MiGs taking the no-fly zone off the table, but at least on this issue?
President Zelensky, in his remarks to Congress today again, made his request for a no-fly zone. He no doubt is aware of President Biden's position on that. Is there any scenario in which President Biden would change his mind?
Today, President Zelensky made a distinction between a humanitarian no-fly zone and a blanket no-fly zone. Does the administration view them as being different or the same thing? I wonder if the U.S. is also discouraging other NATO allies from providing fighter jets, even if the U.S. would not have to serve as a middleman.
One more, and a lot of people have asked about the MiGs, but can you lay out for us why the administration sees MiGs as provocative and Javelins and Stingers as not provocative?
These people sound like bloodthirsty warmongers. What is going on here? This is the U.S. media, the American media, that's so quick to rush to the defense of tyrants, dictators all over the world. They're sold on appeasement. It's the ones protesting war that they champion. But now, I mean, everyone's pretty much on board, even in Washington, D.C. They're all on board with escalating this conflict. But the media, I mean, to just watch this, it's mind-boggling, really. You can't even wrap your mind around it. The U.S. media basically calling for war with Russia, war between the United States and Russia. Set up the no-fly zone and shoot down the Russian aircraft. Well, we've stepped back and we've given you God's perspective on this program with respect, and we'll do that again today with respect to the prophesied Prince of Rosh. And don't forget the Antiochus as well. He factors into many of these prophecies. The Jeroboam prophecy, we've gone through that so many times before. Quite a lot to get to on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. To get to the live video stream, you've got to go to our very own website, and you can see the views on those videos. They just continue to head in the right direction. So as I say, the audience is growing. The website is thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you get to the live stream at 11 a.m. every day here in the Central Time Zone of the United States. And there's also podcasts posted on that same page after the fact so that you can watch on demand if you can't catch it live. Last night, by the way, we had a wonderful performance. GF Handel's Israel and Egypt, performed by our Armstrong Chamber Choir, as well as a small orchestra to back them up. Just beautiful, beautiful sounds and music, and also a powerful message coming out from God's house, Armstrong Auditorium, a message taken largely out of the book of Exodus. So just a great concert to get us ready, as I was saying yesterday, for the upcoming spring holidays. We're now just, I think, less than 4 weeks away. So lots and lots for God's people to get ready for. I mean, if you knew the American media, if you knew they were just interested in reporting the facts and just interested in giving you the truth, if you knew they weren't motivated always by an agenda, well, as an American, you could almost stand behind their, hey, let's take the fight to Putin. Let's take the fight to Putin. Let's put him in his place. But as I say, what's going on? Yesterday, of course, Zelensky, he's making his appeal before the U.S. Congress, bringing up Pearl Harbor, 9/11, Martin Luther King. He's calling for, we need the airplanes, the fighter aircraft. We need the no-fly zone. We need help from you. We need help from Europe. He's been giving this speech, you know, to any Congress or Parliament that will hear him out. And listen to the Washington Post, Mark Thiessen, his take on Zelensky's leadership. This is clip 3.
He's brilliant. I mean, he is the modern day Churchill in both in terms of his courage and his tenacity and also in his eloquence. You know, this is a guy who's taking Churchillian eloquence and combining it with 21st century technology to rally the world in the cause of freedom.
Wow. I mean, what a comparison. The comedian turned politician in Ukraine, and now he's the modern day Churchill, I guess. Again, nothing against Zelensky. Seems like he's putting up a fight. Good for him. His country's been invaded. His country's been invaded by the Prince of Rosh. So these are serious events. But the commentary that you, okay, so Joe Biden announces yesterday he's not gonna enforce a no-fly zone, but he is going to send more and more military aid. There was the $1.5 trillion spending package, I think it was last week, and it was, of course, aid to Ukraine that really got that moving through both chambers in Congress overnight. Thousands of pages, but don't bother reading any of it. Just get it through. Got to do it for Ukraine. Haven't you seen my lapel pin? I've got the flag on my lapel. It's so important. This is from NBC. Biden said the new aid package would drastically increase the amount of military support going to Ukraine to include 800 anti-aircraft systems, 9,000 anti-armor systems, 7,000 small arms like shotguns and grenade launchers, as well as drones and other military equipment. Here's the fake president yesterday describing the assistance that he plans to give Ukraine. Clip 4.
And once the war started, we immediately rushed $350 million in additional aid to further address their needs. Hundreds of anti-air systems, thousands of anti-tank weapons, transport helicopters, armed patrol boats, and other high-mobility vehicles, radar systems that help track incoming artillery and unmanned drones, secure communications equipment and tactical gear, satellite imagery and analysis capacity. And it's clearly helped Ukraine inflict dramatic losses on Russian forces.
Well, that's debatable. We'll get to that here in just a second. But you'll notice he said there at the start of the clip, once the war started, then we sent these things in. So they just started a couple weeks ago, sending Ukraine the military assistance that it's been pleading for. But all that time, going back to last year, the months with Russia amassing troops up against the Ukrainian border, had they had the equipment before the war started, it might be playing out a little bit differently right about now. At this point, though, again, you can't trust anything coming from the media. They're crying for an escalation. Democrats, Republicans, all of them, they're all on board, except for maybe the politicians are stopping just short of the no-fly zone and sending in the MiGs. But outside of that, as you heard, as the NBC report brings out, I mean, lots of military equipment going in there. As I said yesterday, wouldn't it be amazing after all we've seen this past year, over the past year, if so much of that equipment ends up in the hands of the Russians? Right now, it's looking like, you know, if you've been watching this show, you know how that this benefits the Biden administration. You can blame everything on Putin now. They want to prolong this conflict. They want, and there's signs, really, there's signs coming from Russia and Zelensky. that they're ready for a ceasefire of some kind. But you'd never know it. You would never know it by listening to the talking heads in media. They want to prolong this. And meanwhile, in Ukraine, you've got Russia. There are some reports getting through this fog of war. As the saying goes, as the first casualty of war is truth, you just can't get to the truth. Thankfully, we have the sure word of Bible prophecy. We may not know every little detail that's playing out. But what we certainly know what's important with respect to Putin's march on Ukraine. He destroyed yesterday, the Russians destroyed this theater where civilians were sheltering. Listen to this from MSNBC. This is clip two.
And as the sun comes up this morning, we're going to be looking at that theater. Around 1,000 civilians huddled inside that theater. And in fact, in the last few hours, we've seen Maxar technology, a satellite image showing that written around that building in Russian were the words children. That is why the local officials there say they believe the Russians were targeting that theater. Again, we understand that the entryway was collapsed, so we just don't know who survived that attack.
And so the Russians are now targeting more and more of these civilian houses, theaters, targets, whatever you want to call them. And yet at the same time, you still have this narrative coming through that Russia is going to lose, or at the very least that Russia is taking all of these casualties. That those coming to the defense of Zelensky in Ukraine, I mean, they're really taking it to Putin. Is that what's happening here? Listen to Laura Logan. She was this was on One America's Voice recently, clip six.
I really think that there's so much misinformation. We've never really seen anything like it. I mean, I've been covering wars now for 35 years, and I have never seen people with their nails done in the Ukrainian flag, right? I mean, we're being corralled into this box where we either have to hate Vladimir Putin and believe everything evil that's said about him and love Ukraine, and there's no in between. And that reminds me a lot of you're either, you know, a white supremacist or you go with the Democrat narrative on everything under the sun. But Russia is not struggling. What Russia has done from the very beginning has been very strategic. They didn't go straight to Kiev. They went to all those bioweapons laboratories that are scattered all over the country. Some of them they built, so they know where they are. They've known where they are since the Soviet Union.
Her take is similar to that colonel we played clips from yesterday, that the Russians have been very methodical and strategic and happy. Of course, they were hoping, I suppose, for a quicker move through the nation, through the country in this invasion. But from what we can tell, it seems like Putin is on the march and he's getting what he wants. And there's Laura Logan again exposing this false narrative. Well, you heard it from Joe Biden. He said, we've sent all this equipment in and it's clearly helped Ukraine inflict dramatic losses on Russian forces. Now, if it's something like 2,000 casualties for Russia, as that colonel said on the clip I gave you yesterday, that's just 1% of this army of 200,000 Russians. It seems like it's going pretty good for Russia. The conservative treehouse. This was from a report. They're commenting on a report coming out from the IMF. And it says here, when they say the quiet part out loud, pay attention. You hear some about that on this show from time to time. This is quoting from the IMF. It says, the war may fundamentally alter the global economic and geopolitical order should energy trade shift, supply chains reconfigure, payment networks fragment, and countries rethink reserve currency holdings. This war could fundamentally alter the global economic and geopolitical order. And there's quite a few people in the United States, in the Democratic Party, that want this. As we've pointed out so many times before, what's that clip from Granholm, Secretary Granholm? Sam, if you could play that. This is her talking about how the war in Ukraine creates a moment of transition to clean energy. It's an opportunity. Never let a crisis go to waste. This is clip five.
I mean, we heard President Zelensky. We do not want to see any country that is held hostage to Vladimir Putin. And this is a moment for Congress to be able to act. There can be a compromise. There can be movement on this. And whether it's, you know, I mean, what the form is and who sponsors are and all of that, that's a conversation that's happening. But the bottom line is, this is a moment to have this happen. It's an urgent moment.
This is a moment for the fundamental transformation of the economic order, the shift over to clean energy. I mean, this is what I discussed this, I know, earlier this week. But they've been wanting this for decades. These climate change zealots. It's a cult, really. And now here's their opportunity. And the IMF, like Sundance says the quiet part out loud, fundamentally alter the global economic order and also the geopolitical order. Listen to this. This is from Morning Joe last week, clip 10.
Germany moving now aggressively to build their military. It's going to be larger. They're going to spend more money on their military than Russia does now. Japan making this move. Japan, nothing short. Those two countries that lost in World War II and turned their backs on any military moves. For those two countries to come up, that's extraordinary.
I think you're right about younger generations. I mean, there's been a lot of criticism. Why didn't Germany do this earlier? Why didn't Germany expand its military budget earlier? In the 1960s and 70s, there were a lot of countries in Europe and around the world that would have been horrified at Germany expanding its military budget.
And
the last thing we wanted is more of a military Germany.
In 1989, when West Germany and East Germany broke, the French were incensed, even in 89. Europe did not want a united Germany because they were fearful still that late.
The French were nervous. The Brits were nervous. And if this holds, this European robustness and unity that we've seen over the last week, you're right, it's been in the last week, in the last 10 days. If it holds, we're moving from a bipolar world potentially to a tripolar world. I mean, the Europeans have spending power. As Stephen Hadley was saying, they have a military budget. This could actually change the makeup of the great power players that we see.
And this really does turn the world into as Caddy said, a tripolar world, which is something that we should welcome.
Yeah. They're given all this history, which is true. People were shocked. Think about all the warnings in the early 1990s coming from Margaret Thatcher, among others. Do you really want Germany to unite? Do you really want Germany to dominate Europe? There's Scarborough and all of his friends talking about, yeah, people would have been horrified at the thought of Germany militarizing itself. In Japan, added to it, like I covered yesterday. There were nations incensed at what was happening in the late 80s. How that the United States was helping bring all of this about. And now you fast forward to 2022, and there's Joe Scarborough saying, well, it's about time Germany remilitarized. It's about time. We should welcome this. They go on and on and talk about the bipolar to the tripolar world. In fact, it's going to stay bipolar. It's just going to be Europe and then the kings of the East. Israelite nations are going to be shut out. They all fall together. Ephraim, Manasseh, Judah. And then they're attacked by the European superpower. That's what your Bible prophesies. Tripolar world. As if we're this... I gave you the title yesterday on the show, or that's what we came up with after the fact. This is what a post-American world looks like. You've got all of these Gentile nations scrambling for minerals, for trade routes, for alliances, because they know it's over for America. They know it. Now Donald Trump's going to come back for a brief stint, and perhaps that will give some who are still dragging their feet spiritually, time to respond to God, to turn to God in repentance and faith. The sickness in our nations, that's certainly being exposed under this illegitimate administration. The IMF saying that this war could fundamentally alter the global economic and geopolitical order. And there's the Scarborough people cheering it on. Yes, we need a newly militarized Germany. Do we really? That goes on, even as you heard in the opening montage, all of these talking heads in the media. We want to escalate. We want to shoot down Russian planes. Come on, let's go. What is going on here? And then everyone missing the real significance of these events. Okay, if the world order is being altered right before our eyes, where is this leading? It's leading to world war. That's where it's leading. And not in the way that some who have used that term or that phrase in recent days, not in the way that they think. Ukraine, Russia, this is the start of World War III. I mean, in some ways, it certainly is leading to just an explosion of violent events on this earth. Because you see everybody taking sides, right? You see Russia and China coming together in that prophesied alliance. You see Germany, you see Japan together. As far as that prophesied alliance goes, the kings of the East, Japan as well. You throw Japan into that alliance, then you look at Europe. Germany taking the lead. I mean, you leave aside the sure word of Bible prophecy, just look at what led up to World War II. The conservative treehouse, it says here, regardless of the outcome in Ukraine, this situation within the international financial world is not a loss for Putin. Additionally, Biden yesterday was bragging about how he's practically destroyed the Russian economy. Well, has he? You have money. There's money pouring into Ukraine at the moment. But the other not reported fact is that there's still money pouring into Russia. And a lot of it comes from Western organization. Let's be honest. There's so much corruption all over the world. There's corruption in Russia. There's corruption in Ukraine. Yes, Russia's headed up by the Prince of Rosh, for sure. Look at all of those corrupt connections, though, between Ukraine and the Biden family and the Pelosi family and the Romney family and the Clinton Foundation. All of these donors. How could Ukraine's like one of the poorest countries in Europe? I mean, Europe's pretty prosperous, as we know. But Ukraine's not as prosperous as some of the powerhouses like France and Germany. How is it that all of these Ukrainian groups are able to give so much money to Hunter Biden and the Clinton Foundation? When the lid is finally lifted on all of this corruption, it's going to be shocking. But we don't have to get caught up into so much of it. I will get into the Hunter Biden laptop story here in just a second. The New York Times finally coming around. Oh, yeah, it actually was Hunter's, and the email's on. We've authenticated it. They were sent. It was from Hunter, and it did come from these people. Burisma, the meeting between Biden Sr., Joe Biden, the father. I guess his name is technically Joe Biden Jr., but Joe Biden, the president. Yeah, he was involved. But we knew all of this before the election in 2020 because of Bobulinski and so many of these others that came forward. But the New York Times covered it up. The New York Post was banned. Who really interfered in the election of 2020? Who meddled in the election? That would be the communist left. And they did it in more ways than one. It says here, regardless of the outcome in Ukraine, this situation within the international financial world is not a loss for Putin. Additionally, and not coincidentally, this new financial world order is also embraced by the domestic ideologues inside the United States, who have long felt that our geopolitical power was grossly inflated by the economic value of our currency in the world of trade and finance. Listen to this conclusion. Not only does President Putin and Chairman Xi welcome this new order, no one is smiling bigger than former President Obama and his fundamental change crew. They want this. There was that U.S. official the Fed Reserve that said, hey, that's fine if the dollar's no longer the reserve currency. And then you have Saudi Arabia this week saying, we may just get the Chinese currency. Next time we do trade with China, forget about the U.S. dollar. This is what the Obama people want. So you've got all of these factors, all of these prophetically significant developments with respect to the Prince of Rosh, with respect to the kings of the East, with respect to the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. And then, oh, don't forget about radical Islam headed up by Iran. And the rush for the Obama people to try to create a deal so that Iran can be empowered and create nuclear bombs. And then Russia putting the brakes on that deal for now to make sure that they can continue their trade with Iran, as I said yesterday. Wow. I mean, this world's about to explode. How could anyone familiar with the truth and the sure word of Bible prophecy be spiritually lazy and lethargic at this moment? It says here, this is the final line of the conservative treehouse piece. This is the change they were hoping for. The fundamental transformation crowd in America. America's under attack from within. Now, if these were sincere journalists, just seekers of the truth, then maybe you could get behind it and say, well, yeah, let's get this nation to stand up to Putin. But the problem is, they won't stand up to the crime at home. They won't stand up to the invasion at the southern border. The very same people who are rushing to send $15 billion to Ukraine resisted against the $15 billion for the wall at the southern border of the United States. Donald Trump, I mean, he faced resistance from every direction. The media, Democrats, Republicans. The only ones who supported him were just the ordinary Americans all across the nation who wanted border security. But they couldn't get it. They couldn't get it because America's under attack. And so now here comes the Obama people, and they want to prolong this conflict. It works in their favor if this is extended. Going back to Laura Logan in that interview she had, play clip 7.
It's hard to believe anything that our leaders tell us because they've lied about COVID, they lied about Russia collusion, they lied about the Ukraine impeachment trial, and there's so much more going on in Ukraine that nobody is talking about. You see such dishonesty when it comes to the history of Ukraine.
They've lied about everything, the leaders and the media. You can't believe anything that you see or hear. We truly are living in Orwellian times. So much fake news. The New York Times piece from yesterday says here, in the year after he disclosed a federal investigation into his tax affairs in late 2020, President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, paid off a significant tax liability even as a grand jury continued to gather evidence in a wide-ranging examination of his international business dealings, according to people familiar with the case. Well, you know it's serious if the New York Times is finally getting around to it. But where was this reporting in 2020? Where was this reporting when Rudy Giuliani, you remember the crazy guy, the crazy Trump lawyer? When Rudy Giuliani was talking to anyone who would listen, and it wasn't that many, saying, look, what's on this laptop? I mean, there's pornography, there's pedophilia, there's all these corrupt, shady dealings with Ukrainian oligarchs and Russian oligarchs and Chinese oligarchs. And the New York Times says, hey, that's Russian disinformation. Hey, social media said, hey, we've got to delete the account or suspend the account of the New York Post because they're reporting on this laptop. Listen to this from the New York Times. It says, people familiar with the investigation and prosecutors had examined emails between Mr. Biden, Mr. Archer, and others about Burisma and other foreign business activity. Those emails were obtained by the New York Times from a cache of files that appears to have come from a laptop abandoned by Mr. Biden in a Delaware repair shop. It used to be that it was stolen, but now, yeah, it's abandoned. And then, here's the whopper. Listen to this. The email and others in the cache were authenticated by people familiar with them and with the investigation. Authenticated? You mean they're real? That's what the New York Times is now reporting as of yesterday. But it wasn't that way in October of 2020, was it? Oh, no. Listen to this montage that we played from back at that time, clip 9.
This whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin. That's been clear for well over a year now.
There are these issues with the Bidens that are absolutely invented, imagined.
A series of lies peddled them by Rudy Giuliani.
Last week, Giuliani and former Trump official Steve Bannon provided the New York Post with unverified emails.
Every major national, international, and local news operations looked into it, has said it's a lie.
Operation looks right out of the Kremlin playbook.
The FBI, we know, is investigating whether they are or are not tied to Russian disinformation. A Kremlin-constructed anti-Biden propaganda campaign.
50 high-level intelligence agents, people who have worked in the intelligence agencies, came out and said that this is most likely Russian propaganda.
There is no controversy about overseas dealing. It's just all questions. It's a flat lie because
for me, or to me, these are distractions. I mean, the American people don't want to hear these smears against my family.
His buddy Rudy Giuliani, he's being used as a Russian pawn. He's being fed information that is Russian, that is not true.
You can't believe anything that they say. Laura Logan's right. They've lied about everything. They lie. The media lies for it. The media is there quickly to carry water for them. Covered it all up. They interfered with the election, the presidential election of 2020, because they blotted this out. It was the truth. It's all true. So says the New York Times a year and a half later. Well, how convenient. Now that the fake president has been installed as the newest White House occupant, now we can come out and admit that, well, yeah, it was true. The New York Post, not the New York Times, the Post, this was the publication that had the courage to actually report on this a year and a half ago. They write, first, the New York Times decides more than a year later that Hunter Biden's business woes are worthy of a story. Then, deep in the piece, in passing, it notes that Hunter's laptop is legitimate. It's legitimate. And then it goes on to quote the paragraph I think that we just gave to you about how that it was these messages, these emails have been authenticated. The New York Post says, you don't say. You mean when a newspaper actually does reporting on a topic and doesn't just try to whitewash coverage for Joe Biden, it discovers it's actually true? It says, but wait, it doesn't end there. In October 2020, the Times cast doubt that there was a meeting between Joe Biden and an official from Burisma, the Ukrainian gas company, for which Hunter was a board member. Remember Burisma? He was getting $80,000 a month. From Burisma, a Ukrainian gas company. It says a Biden campaign spokesman said Mr. Biden's official schedules did not show a meeting between the two men, the Times wrote, acting as a perfect stenographer. Yet, in the latest report, published Wednesday night, the Times said the meeting likely did happen. Biden had attended the dinner in question. Funny, it says, how this works when you don't just take someone's word for it. It's funny how it works when you actually do a little investigative reporting. And you're not just like a tape recorder for what Joe Biden says, or Hunter, or any of these people. They're all crooked. They're all criminals. They're all part of this massive crime family. And now they're going on and on and on. We need more war. We need to escalate this conflict. We need to go to war with Russia if need be. It says here, in the heat of the presidential race in 2020, the Times never missed a chance to cast doubt on the laptop, saying the information was purported and quoting a letter from former Democratic officials who claimed with no evidence that it was Russian disinformation. Remember, it was John Brennan who led the charge? This is classic Russian disinformation. implying that the laptop was planted by the Russians. The Russians, of all people. And then Ukraine factors into the story as well. And you've got all these communists in America right in bed with all of them. All of them. Honestly, how can you believe anything that any one of them say? Ever? Listen to this from Joe Biden. You know, speaking of the laptop and all of this pornographic content on it, the fake president came out with this announcement yesterday, clip one.
So we established a new civil rights cause of action for those whose intimate images were shared on the public screen. How many times have you heard? I'll bet everybody knows somebody somewhere along the line that in an intimate relationship, what happened was the guy takes a revealing picture of his naked friend or whatever in a compromising position. And then, literally, in a sense, blackmails or mortifies that person. Send it out. Put it online.
What in the world is going on here? He said, I bet everybody knows somebody who's been photographed naked and then the picture ends up on the internet somewhere. I don't know anybody that's happened to. I mean, I know his son. I don't know who was taking all the photos of his son in those sex acts. But evidently, that wasn't somebody that, it didn't seem like it bothered Hunter. This is supposed to be the president of the United States. The world is on fire. And what is this legislation? New civil rights cause of action? To go after people that put nude photos on the internet? The internet is filled with filth. It's filled with pornography. How about if you put an end to the pornography, just in general? That says a lot about the way these people in the swamp think. Everyone in the swamp probably does know someone who's printed compromised photos on the internet to really go after an enemy. But no ordinary American knows someone like this. I mean, look, we're sick through and through. Everyone's to blame. I'm not saying it's all the swamp and then it's surrounded by righteous people. God says the sickness is head to toe. But look at the sickness of the head for a moment. It's shocking. It's just stunning. It's like that prophecy in Ezekiel 8. God says to the prophet, come over here to this hole in the wall and just peer in. I mean, the abominable acts that are going on. You won't even be able to believe it. We're beginning to peer in to some of these abominable acts, this sickness, this cancer. No wonder God's raising up the Assyrian rod. Read Isaiah 10. We went through some of those prophecies on Tuesday's program. Go to thetrumpet.com/live and listen again to Tuesday's show. All those clips by Herbert Armstrong, my father, he was right. He was right. It's all happening just as was prophesied. Subscribe to our magazine, Tomorrow's News Today, the number 1-866-930-3024. Become a Trumpet subscriber. There's no cost, no obligation. And also make sure you secure your free copy of the booklet, He Was Right. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for. Enroll today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
We've been talking this week about how it's so easy for even large groups of religious people like the Worldwide Church of God to be deceived, led away captive by enticing words. There was that call to be free video I mentioned the last couple of programs that really celebrated the fundamental transformation of the Worldwide Church of God. They labeled Herbert Armstrong a heretic, a cult leader, after his death. One viewer wrote in, another outstanding show on Wednesday. I watched the Call to Be Free video years ago when I was auditing your doctrines class. It was very creepy, and I haven't been tempted to watch it again. Very sickening indeed. It's sickening to see people fall away from the truth, to go after enticing words, words that sound right. But what are the actions? What are the fruits? What are the results of the actions? I mentioned this program my father gave back in 2012. He's talking here or commenting here about the prophecy in Colossians 2. And it says here, these men, these Laodicean ministers, they come to you with vain deceit. And God wants to know how much we love him. And if we will really love him enough to get grounded in the Bible and established in the faith, this whole body of beliefs in the Bible, my father says, are you established in that, or do you follow the traditions of men? Are you established in the truth, or do you follow after the traditions of carnal-minded men? Romans 10, verse 13, just notice this passage from Paul's epistle. It says here, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Eternal shall be saved. So this is a verse that's obviously been grossly misinterpreted in the world of traditional Christianity today. These theologians that have no idea, they do not understand that salvation, God's plan of salvation, is a process. It's not a once saved, always saved religion. They like to quote this verse, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you just call upon Jesus, then you're saved. Doesn't matter what happens from here on out. We got into this, I know, on yesterday's show. Verse 14, though, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So this is not, Paul is saying, this is not a shallow or superficial religion at all. How are you going to, what kind of, for one, Mr. Armstrong used to say, what kind of belief, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, what kind of belief are we talking about? Or what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then Paul talks about how that you need to study the word and hear from a preacher, someone that can teach you. It says here in verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. God draws attention to preachers who are sent. Now, there's a lot in the New Testament. You don't hear the preachers go on about this. There's a lot in the New Testament about false preachers. Read 2 Corinthians 11 sometime. Or we went through a few verses from Jude just yesterday or the day before. John in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Read those epistles. They're at the end of the New Testament. And what John had to say about Diotrephes in particular. He loved to have the preeminence. I mean, he loved the chief seat. Read Acts 20. Paul's talking to a big group of ministers in God's church. And he says, there's going to be grievous wolves that come up among you, you true ministers. It is possible for a minister of Christ to turn bad, to become corrupted by vain deceit or enticing words. We've got to stay the course. God draws attention here to the feet of the preacher, the one delivering the message. You know, Joe DeKoch Jr. in that Call to Be Free video, he said that, I think it was him, maybe it was Mike Fizell, they said that, you know, what Mr. Armstrong did was he just reduced Christ to a mere messenger. Reduced him? In other words, Christ is so much more. I mean, the focus should be on Jesus, not the message. Well, it is true that Mr. Armstrong said, no, the focus needs to be on the message that he brought. The gospel, the word gospel means good news. So Jesus came into Galilee preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, he had a message. Where did the message come from? It came from God. That's why Christ was always trying to draw attention to God the Father. That's why he was declaring the Father, John 1 and verse 18. That's why he said, of my own self, I can do nothing. That's John 5, verse 19, I believe. Look at John 8 and verse 29 sometime. I strive to do all things that please the Father. There's no scriptures to speak of in that Call to Be Free video. And you know what else is ignored or left out? God the Father. What an insult. What an insult. You have God the Father and Christ the Son, the family of God. And here those Laodicean ministers, they wanted to put all the focus on Jesus and a false Jesus at that. And they just shut out, they erased, they blotted out the family of God. God the Father, the real Jesus Christ, and of course God's children. Verse 16 it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. A Laodicean doesn't like the word obey. Obedience, submission, humility. Look at the language here Paul uses. They have not all obeyed the gospel. The gospel? Well, isn't the gospel just about Jesus? It's just a simple message about Jesus. What do you have to obey? I thought the whole point was that Jesus got rid of the law and we don't have to obey anything. Well, that's the way a lot of people think. That's not the way Paul thought. That's not the way Jesus thought. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I say? In other words, you're disobedient. You don't obey the gospel. You don't obey the laws of God. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. That's Romans 10 here in verse 16. You know what it says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22? It says to obey the truth. You know what it says in Romans 1 and verse 5? It says to obey the faith. Do you know what it says in Romans 8 and verse 2? It says to obey the Spirit. God's Spirit is a spirit of submission, after all. As many as are led by the Spirit, it says later in that chapter, Romans 8, they are the children of God. It's like I said yesterday with that example from Matthew 19. Jesus said, fine, if you're obedient, then sell off all you have and come and follow me and help me do the work. And that young man couldn't do it. He went away from Christ. He walked away from Christ. He wasn't obedient. He didn't obey the gospel. Verse 17, this is coming back to Romans 10 now. Sorry, I'm bouncing around a little bit. But verse 17 of Romans 10, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the kind of faith that God wants for us to have. There is such a thing as dead faith. James 2 brings this out. Faith without works is dead. But this here, this is living faith. If you're asking God for more of Jesus Christ's faith, Christ in you, Galatians 2:20, ask him for more faith. Educate that faith, as this verse here in Romans 10:17 brings out. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So study the word of God. Don't just go to a 40-minute service on a Sunday morning and read about one verse and then close the book and you're good to go for the next 7 days. God says, study the word. daily. Be like the Bereans. They searched the scriptures daily. Read Acts 17, 10 and 11. Do you search the scriptures daily? Do you search the scriptures to see if what I'm saying is biblical? To see if what I'm preaching, if it springs from the Bible? You better do that, because there's a lot of false teachers out there, a lot of false preachers preaching another Jesus, another gospel. There's a gospel for everyone in this world. If it's something that you want, if you want to sort of make it or create your own religion, there's sure to be something out there for you. But do you want to submit to the word of God? Do you want to submit to the gospel that Jesus proclaimed? That's a big difference. A mighty big difference between those that submit to and obey the gospel and those that create their own and then pat themselves on the back because they feel pretty good about themselves. They consider themselves to be religious. Jude 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." You better fight for this. I read that to you the other day, I know. But you better contend for this, or some false minister is going to come along and deceive you with enticing words. Just the perfect argument, the perfect discourse, the perfect soliloquy. Certain men, verse 4 says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness." Certain men turning grace, the grace of God. So, I mean, these are holy men, right? These are religious men using God's grace as a license to disobey. Lasciviousness just means an absence of restraint. No restraint, no rules, no guidelines. Just a shallow belief in Jesus. Galatians 1:6, I finished with this the other day. Paul here, he marveled that so many in Galatia were so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. See, there's other gospels. Satan the devil, he's got all kinds of false gospels out there. You better make sure you dig into the Bible like the Bereans did so that you know if the preacher, as Romans 10 brings out, if the preacher has been sent by God or if he's a false minister, if he's one of Satan's apostles, one of Satan's ministers, you got to know. And the beauty of it is you can know, you can do what 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 says to do. You can prove all things based on this word. You can prove, you can even get into the spirit behind the speaking or the message. 1 John 4:2 brings this out. I mean, that means we've got to really get into some in-depth study of God's word so that we know, so that we can have that solid foundation, that spiritual bedrock on which we can build a structure that won't just collapse at the first sign of trouble, the first storm on the horizon. It won't take it out. It'll be solid. It'll be sure. It'll be built on the right foundation. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, the 800 number if you want to request any of our free literature. That's 1-866-930-3024. Don't forget about the email address. Brain freeze there for a moment. Don't forget about the email address, td@thetrumpet.com. We've got lots of emails that have stacked up, and we'll get to those at some point. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.